Good morning, everyone. A very warm welcome to St. Catharines in the Mennonite Church on Palm Sunday. A special warm greeting to everyone who's shown up and any visitors we have. It's extended wishes to you as well. Let us draw strength as a community of believers as we come to worship the one true God. As it is Palm Sunday, the Sunday school children will be coming up in a moment. Remain seated as we sing Hosanna, Hosanna. Yep, come on up. So just a couple of announcements. I'll leave you to read the bulletin, highlight what you need to, and remember them. Remember Friday is Good Friday. Service starts at 10:30. It will include communion, and communion will be served pre-COVID times, so we will be able to pass around the plate and the wine. Let us prepare our hearts for that. And next Sunday is Easter Sunday, so anyone interested, 9:30 in the morning, there'll be a Pascha breakfast downstairs. So bring any breakfast food items you like. Sarah and I did a pre-batch of Pascha yesterday, so we're going to be ready for the next week. What's that? We're not supplying everybody. call to worship. So the choir will now sing us a song.
Congregational reading,
sorry. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Let us rejoice in all our Lord has done. For it is marvelous in our eyes. Hosanna. We bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Lord, we are isolated and alone. Our failures are visible for all to see. Our days pour out like sand. Our years fade and are gone. We are afraid to hope, we confess to the Lord. Lord, we trust in you. Redeem us now, we pray. To you, Lord, we commit all our hope and all our worship. Amen.
Okay, a healthy and hearty good morning to each and every one of you. Today, I will be reading Psalms 31, verses 9 to 16. And anyone who wishes to follow along, please feel free to do so with your Bibles that's supplied in the pews. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish, and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors. I am a dread to my friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten by them as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery, for I hear the slander of many. There is terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Could I ask us all to please pray, or please bow for prayer? Loving God, give us joy in our hearts as we shout, Hosanna! Welcome Jesus with palms, celebrating all we hope for as the Easter story unfolds. Then as the journey of Jesus turns towards Good Friday, help us to know that you are with us when celebrating turns to sadness. Give us the faith we need to follow you on the way of the cross, which leads to life. In our Savior's name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Okay. So we'll have a song, This is the Day, and then after that, children, please come forward for the children's story.
I find we always rejoice differently when we see children up at the front to help with our singing. So we need Stephanie and Frank and Mason and Veronica and Callan and Evelyn, Marcus, and anybody else? Dexon, maybe Lee and Emily? We need you to get some instruments here. We got rhythm instruments. Come, you're going to help us. Pick up the instruments, whichever one you want. These are clackers. Anybody want a clacker? This is going to be real good. We're going to rejoice because this is the day the Lord has made.
This is the day. Morning, boys and girls. I have something to show you. I'd like you to come and sit right here close by me. Why did you bring all those branches up with you today? Nobody knows why you brought them? Yes. Very good answer. People were waving the palm branches when Jesus was coming, and he was coming riding on a colt. Do you know what a colt is?
Donkey.
That's right, a young donkey. He was riding a young donkey, and this was when Jesus was presenting himself to Israel as the nation's Messiah and King. The Bible tells us in Matthew 21 that the disciples and many people and children were waving the palm branches and laying down those branches and their clothes on the road as Jesus rode. And the people were shouting. Do you know what they were saying? We heard that word many times today already. They were saying, Hosanna. Can you say that? Hosanna. Lift up your hand and cheer. Hosanna. They were cheering for Jesus. They were saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Can you repeat that? Blessed is the King. Blessed is the King, you say it, who comes in the name of the Lord. Who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Make it a cheer. Hosanna in the highest. Here the people were honoring Jesus. But what happened next? What happened after that day? What's going to happen next week? Yes. That's so sad, isn't it? That happened the next day that was called Good Friday. But why is it called Good Friday if Jesus died? Yes.
Because he said he would raise up again.
Yes, he did. God would raise him up from the dead. And Jesus died for our sins so we could go be with him in heaven one day. So it's called Good Friday because he died for us. Even though it was a sad day to know that someone died. So on Easter Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead. God made him alive again so we could have everlasting life with him in heaven. God has put many things in nature to remind us of Jesus, and I would like to show you one. First, I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes. Imagine it's summertime. Today it's so cold, but imagine it's summertime and you're on a beach. Now, what might you see in the sand on the beach? Okay, open your eyes and tell me, what might you find on the beach?
Sand.
Yes. Of course, sand, yes. What would you find on the sand?
Shells.
That's right. You might find some shells. I wanted you to come close so you could chew some of these shells. You take one.
Hi.
Okay, sit back down again. Everybody have a shell? Now you might find that on our beaches. And sometimes, though, the waves break those shells, and those shells turn into sand. God has made many wonderful things to live in the water, in our lakes, but he's made even bigger things that grow in the oceans. Do you know what an ocean is?
Sharks.
Sharks could live in the ocean.
And whales.
And whales, too. When we go to the beach here, we go to Sunset Beach, maybe, and you can even see the city across the lake. You can see Toronto across the lake. And a lake is not very big. It seems big to us, but an ocean is even bigger and deeper than our lakes. When I was visiting a beach by an ocean, I found something very interesting that tells us about the story of Jesus, the story of Easter. Do you know what this is? It is a shell. It used to be alive, but all things in life, they live and then they die.
Starfish?
No, it's not a starfish.
It's a fossil of a starfish.
It's called a sand dollar. It was a sea urchin and it's turned into a sand dollar. This is what I found. And this reminds me of Easter. Come nice and close and you can see why it reminds me of Easter.
It's a star.
What? You see the star right in the middle is a star. And that star can remind us of Christmas as well, the Christmas when the wise men were going to find Jesus. Now, you can all feel it, sure. Now, it's very fragile, though, so we have to be very careful with it. Now, around that star, you can see an Easter lily, flowers that we will likely have next Sunday when we celebrate Easter, and maybe flowers that grew around Jesus' tomb. So the star is in the middle, and all around you can see the Easter lily. And when I turn it over, there's a different flower there. That would be the poinsettia that we have at Christmas time. Now, I'm going to turn it back over this way, and there's some holes in there. I'm just going to get a different one. Just a moment.
How much sandal do you have?
This one is a little bit smaller, so it's hard to see the star in the middle. Don't be very careful. It's very fragile. What does fragile mean?
Breakable.
It's very breakable. It can break easily, so we have to be gentle with it. The shells that you're holding in your hand are a little bit stronger. Now, do you see some holes in there? How many holes do you see?
Two, three, four.
And one more.
Five.
There's five holes in there, and those holes represent something. There's two holes here at the top, and those holes would be the nail holes in Jesus' hand. And the two here on the bottom would be the nail holes that were in Jesus' feet. Very sad to think of that, isn't it? And the one in the middle is when one of the Roman soldiers had a spear, and he speared right into Jesus' side. I think Jesus was already dead, but he did that to make sure that Jesus was dead. So this shell reminds me of Easter when I found these on the beach. Now, I would like to give you each a shell to take home, and you can think of the Easter story when you see the star and the Easter lily and all the holes that we have in there. Now, I told you they were very fragile. And if you break it open, I'm going to break one open for you to see what happens when we break it open. You see how it looks now? When I break it open, five little doves fall out of the middle. See how tiny they are? And if you put those little doves all together, they would make the shape of a star. So when I give you one, be careful it doesn't break, okay? You want to save those little shells there in the middle. Now let's say our prayer first, and then I'll give you each a shell to take home with you. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the children that are here today to learn more about you. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so we could have everlasting life. Amen. If you hold out your hand like this, I'll give you each a shell. If you know how to read, I'll also give you the story of the legend of the sand dollar. If you hold it flat in your hand like this, it should keep it nice and safe. You're able to read, aren't you? Would you like the story?
I don't know.
You don't know how to read yet, but you're learning? Okay. There you go. There you are, Stephanie. Walk back carefully so your shell doesn't break.
Can I have a story?
Do you want the story? Yes. Do you know how to read? Do you want the story? Tuck it right in there. That's too hard. Okay. Do you know how to read? Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for the story and the sand dollars. Three things. Yesterday, mid-morning, I was driving around and, in some sense, not too surprised, but saw a number of people as I traveled around wearing shorts. It was warm. It was warm yesterday morning. This morning, the temperature at our place at home as I sat down at the morning table was -4. And the weather change that we experienced with the wind the other day as well, part of the system that caused storms and even multiple tornadoes across mid-United States. There was a lot of destruction, and over 20 people lost their lives since Friday, and just a sense of rapid climate change back and forth. And so at least news we hear is that that's some events like that are simply going to be on the rise with climate change. Second, aside from the continuing war in Ukraine that seems to be getting tired of hearing about, and yet for people of Ukraine it is a close reality. This past week you may have heard also in Myanmar, Southeast Asia country there, a small village was bombed by the military. And the connection is that about half of the people in that village are associated with the Mennonite Church. And so there was, again, loss of life due to violence. And Mennonite Church Canada, aside from asking for our prayers, also seeking support for the church there in Myanmar. Finally, this past week, Renata and I were able to go to a screening to see the movie Women Talking. You may have read the articles in the recent Canadian Mennonite reviewing the movie, or you may have heard about it in connection with the Oscar Awards. It's a powerful exploration of responding to abuse and what it means to forgive. And people who have been hurt need to be heard, the central message coming through that, as well as the struggle of what it means to forgive. May we as individuals and we as a church be willing to listen when people have experienced pain. We not only turn to God in prayer, but we also invite God's activity in our life to respond to those things happening around us. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God of hope and God of celebration, today we join with people of faith around the world to welcome Jesus into our lives as Lord. We wave our palm branches with joy. Our excitement is acknowledgement of your coming to bring new beginnings of justice, peace, and compassionate care as we seek to be people of faith, as we seek to enact your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Come, Lord Jesus, come once again to wipe away the tears from our eyes and to lift the heaviness of pain we may carry. And so today, Lord, we give thanks for Waldy, who's returned home, and while there are still challenges ahead, there is renewed hope and strength. Continue to be his healing. While we celebrate your coming, we also hold in our hearts those who suffer. Suffer from violence and loss, people of Myanmar, people of Ukraine. For those near at hand, family and neighbors, where suffering may be from storms of nature, but also storms within. Come as Lord, riding perhaps on a humble donkey, but also with strength of healing power that only comes from you. God, hear our prayers. We invite your healing so that our hope may be renewed. As a faith community, we share our tithes and offerings out of the abundance that you have provided. We share what we have so others may experience your grace and fulfillment in their lives. In the coming days, during this Passion Week, we remember the journey of Jesus heading to Jerusalem to proclaim the good news, your kingdom come, and his willingness to be a sacrifice for our sins. May we find in him life and life to the full, so that we may live fully and have hope for this life and for eternity. For all these things we give you thanks, in Jesus' name, amen.
The song that the choir is going to sing invites us to come into the streets and do what the children did. To see this strange and gentle king that's riding on a donkey. And not everyone that's watching that scene that day was of the same mind. The third verse in our song asks the questions. If the soldiers should draw their swords, will we dare to sing these songs? Be his friends for just a day? Cheer him on and then run away? It hints at another part of the story.
Come into the streets with me. Come to where the crowds will be. See a stranger, gentle king, on a donkey traveling. Come and follow my leader. Come and follow my leader. Jesus Christ is riding by. Come and follow my leader. All the people shout his name, waving branches sing his fame, throw their coats upon his robe, glad to praise the Son of God. Come and follow my leader, come and follow my leader, Jesus Christ is riding by. Soldiers draw their swords. Will we dare to sing his words? Be his friends for just a day. Cheer him on, then run away. Come and follow my leader. Come and follow my leader. Jesus Christ is right.
Good morning. Scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew 21, verses 1 through 9, where Jesus makes his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Verse 1, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there and her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I was reading my journal from a couple of years ago, April the 4th, 2020, Palm Sunday, and we were all at home. There were no church services, probably throughout most of North America, on that Palm Sunday morning. I am so glad to be in the house of the Lord today. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Now, Trudy, I love the percussionist that you had up here this morning. It was amazing. But I really felt for Rocky and Rudy trying to keep the beat. I saw Rocky nodding his head, trying to keep in beat with the music, but that was a wonderful experience to have the children here on the instruments. The entire service has come together in a wonderful way in the sharing of the scriptures. Thank you, Renee, and thank you, Vic, for the public reading of the Holy Scriptures. And to focus our thoughts, even the selections of our choir. Thank you, choir, so very much. And Brother Elf for leading the choir today and focusing our thoughts on the triumphal entry of Jesus. Now, I must confess as well, Elaine, as you were sharing the stories, the marvelous story of the sand dollar, a very popular one amongst many of us. I actually have a framed sand dollar with the story about the sand dollar. However, here's a sidebar story. I was on the beach at the ocean, and I was gathering up sand dollars, and someone said, "You know, you're not supposed to take those. You're supposed to leave them." And so I thought, well. And so I went to a gift shop and I bought myself a framed sand dollar. But a marvelous story, and thank you for focusing our children's attentions on the significant events in the life of our Lord Jesus, both his birth and then, of course, his ultimate crucifixion. So when I chose this sermon title this morning, I suppose I thought all of you were history buffs, and you would have known that the answer to this question, all roads lead to. There are some history buffs here. Indeed, that was an expression that was used often in Asia Minor, that all roads during ancient civilization at the time of the Roman Empire, the Pax Romana, that all roads around Europe led to the city of Rome. If you answered Rome, you are correct. But in the context of Palm Sunday, oh, I'm so glad the season of Lent is over. Now I can eat broccoli again. Because, of course, you couldn't very well give up chocolate for the season of Lent, could you? But no, all joking aside, it's so wonderful to be together in the house of the Lord, as we have said during this entire season of Lent and as we approach Easter, that Sundays are a wonderful oasis. It's a time for us to just pause during our pilgrimage, during the pilgrimage of Lent, and rejoice in the knowledge that we serve a risen Savior and we can worship that Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the Lord's Day. And as we enter Passion Week, Holy Week, let us be contemplative, Let us read the scriptures and let us give serious thought to the work of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished on our behalf. In the world of the Western history, whether it be economics or religious or military, the Roman Empire was such that the Roman roads throughout all of Asia Minor led to Rome. But in the biblical story, all roads led to Jerusalem, whether it be Jewish, whether it be Muslim, or whether it be Christian. Ever since David made Jerusalem the capital, and the glory of God descended on Solomon's temple, Jerusalem has been the heart and the soul of the religious world. The psalmist wrote that well-known blessing upon those who pray for the shalom, the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Psalm 122, verse 6. Our Palm Sunday is not quite the festive religious holiday that other world religions celebrate. The streets of Jerusalem are filled today with swelling crowds to overflowing during their Jewish Passover celebrations. Indeed, today, all over the world, Passover celebrations for the faithful religious Jew, a very high and a very holy day. I think that the festive days in North America are normally March Madness, the Super Bowl, or the Stanley Cup. But getting back to Passover and the Jewish devotion to their holy city of Jerusalem, the psalmist writes, "If I forget you, Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem as my highest joy." Psalm 137 and verse 5. You see, when Israel had been utterly destroyed as a nation, the redemption, the renewal of Jerusalem, it became synonymous with salvation. God spoke through the prophet Isaiah these words, "But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating, for I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight." Oh, since the days of Abraham, and when Abraham started to walk towards that promised land, and as Moses led the group of slaves out of Egypt, Jerusalem has represented the hopes and dreams of God's people. To truly understand Jerusalem is to understand what it means to love that which God loves. Perhaps some of you have had the opportunity to travel to Israel and to fall in love with that holy ancient city, that modern city. Trust me, if you ever have the opportunity to travel to Jerusalem as a Christian person with spiritual ties to this city, when you view the city of Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, your heart will be filled with love for this place. Some refer to Jerusalem as the holy city. For all three world religions, Muslims, Jews, Christians, they claim the sacredness of that holy city. This city has been a troubled place for centuries, never being free from discord and violence, even as it is to this very day. You can see and you can hear the broken heart of God as recorded in Luke, who adds these words to the account as Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem. Luke records for us these words, as he came near and saw the city, he wept over it. Luke 19, verse 41. When Jesus told his disciples that he would have to suffer and even be killed in Jerusalem, Peter asked for a private conference with Jesus. Presumably, Peter wanted to admonish Jesus. "No way, Jesus. God forbid it. This must never happen to you." Matthew 16. But Peter was no doubt thinking, how could our Messiah be killed in Jerusalem? This is the holy city of King David. Jerusalem is supposed to fling wide the eastern gate and welcome Messiah with rejoicing. But no, this was not God's plan. Jesus admonished Peter with these well-known words. Jesus spoke to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Matthew 16, verse 23. It was always Satan's strategy to put forward the scenario, the kingdom. He tempted Jesus in the wilderness. He tempted Jesus. The crown without the cross. The mystery that is before us now is becoming clear. Yes, Jesus came. Yes, Jesus came to wear the king. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But first, our Messiah must bear the cross. He cannot save until he suffers. We cannot be brought into harmony. We cannot be brought into right relation with God until Jesus suffered. Jesus suffered on the cross for the human race. Jesus comes into Jerusalem at the beginning of this incredible week that we call Holy Week or Passion Week. The picture of Jesus on a donkey being clearly to mind, it brings to mind the picture that Matthew quotes from just over 500 years prior to this day. Jerusalem was in a sad story state hundreds and hundreds of years prior, owing to their Roman overlords. And Matthew refers to the prophecy of Zechariah, chapter 9 and verse 9. It's often quoted, "Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout aloud, your king comes to you triumphant and victorious." So Matthew is making reference to this text as a fulfillment of the promises, the prophecy of God. "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." The crowds were no doubt referring to this messianic psalm. "Save us now, Hosanna." But no, there will be no crowning of King Jesus on the streets of Jerusalem during Passover. The words of St. Paul strike at the heart of those who want to put Jesus on the throne. The Apostle Paul needed to remind the early church, as we need to be reminded today. In Philippians 2, Paul rightly records for us the implications of the cross, the significance of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, that there would be no crowning during this Passover week in Jerusalem. For Paul reminds us as Christians, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The crowd wanted someone to bail them out of their problems. At Passover time, the Jews were looking for Messiah. And when Jesus rode in Jerusalem on a donkey, you might be surprised at how many gathered to lift up their praises. "Hosanna, Hosanna, the time has come. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And by shouting this and waving their palm branches, it was clearly a symbol of to use a political term, Jewish nationalism. They were saying, "At long last, here comes the one who will set up an earthly kingdom, who will rid us of our Roman overlords." They were ready to follow such a leader and ready for God's mighty acts of salvation. That word Hosanna meant, "Save, we pray. Oh God, grant us salvation from our political oppressors as we are oppressed in our own land." But Jesus, of course, never intended to set up an earthly kingdom to bail out the crowds that cheered that day just as quickly joined the mocking and the jeering crowds. They were a fickle group that turned their backs on him as he continued towards the cross. Jesus knew what his mission was, but it never quite got through to them in spite of what he told them. The next day, they were probably out looking for another popular hero who would save them from the Romans. Jesus was the one who came to save, but not in the way that they expected. Jesus. What do you think of Jesus today? Is he someone to call upon when you have your emergencies? Do our words of faith and commitment melt under the heat of difficult circumstances? Do we turn to the Lord for a bailout? Is ours nothing more than a superficial religion with no thought, with no depth? Or perhaps you are a more theologically inclined person and you've already conjured up an image of the type of Jesus that you want. You want a conquering Jesus who will slay the ungodly and usher in some global cataclysmic reign, a reign of war and terror to rid the world of those who are contrary. Is that the type of Jesus that you wish for? Jesus had something entirely different in mind as he continued towards the cross. He was not going to be swayed by the whims of a cheering crowd. He had much more to offer them and much more to offer us. We too often miss it, just as the crowd did on that day. We don't always want what the Lord has made available to us and go on our way unaffected by all that he did for us on the cross. Just doesn't sink in. And so it is on the context of Palm Sunday and our Lord's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Listen to the words of Psalm 118. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. You have become our salvation. But what Jesus did for us opened up the way for access to abundant life, to union with God, to a way whereby we receive the gift of life eternal. Because of him becoming our salvation, as prophesied many years before he came to earth, we don't have to try to become worthy or on our own righteousness, on our own morality. Many times people say, I've got to get my life straightened out first before I can come to God. Before I can come to church, I have to earn my salvation. I love the words found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, where it says that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. This is not something that we can do for ourselves. We can't make up our own rules for our salvation and then try hard to live up to these rules. The person who trusts in Christ becomes the righteousness of God in him through the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the gift, the gracious gift of God to people whereby all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are brought into a right relationship with God. We're ushered in. We hear the invitation, come on in. This righteousness is unattainable by some kind of outward legalistic obedience to some laws or by the merit of a person's own doing or by any other condition other than faith in Christ. Come unto me, Jesus says, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus gives us access to the divine one, to God. He opened up the way for us. Sometimes we don't realize what a great thing he did. And so we procrastinate. We slough him off. We ignore him. We don't value this great gift of salvation. Oh, how great is God's love for us. All roads may lead to Jerusalem, but ultimately they lead us to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ on Golgotha's hill. Through the streets of Jerusalem, the Via Dolorosa, as it is called, to the cross on Golgotha's hill. Oh, don't imagine for a moment that once you arrive on your pilgrimage to Jerusalem, that your journey is finished. Our journey takes us up Calvary's Mount, where we see the blessed Son of God hanging on a cross, carrying the sin weight of the world. We treat it in such a humdrum manner. Hebrews 2 and verse 3 reminds us, with the greatest of sobriety, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did during times of rebellion. Hebrews 3 and verse 15. Behold now, Paul writes in Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Behold now is the accepted time. Behold now is the day of salvation. As our sister Elaine was telling the children the story about the sand dollar, and she was handing out shells. Shells often represent pilgrimage, the famous Camino de Santiago. It's the shell which reminds us that we're all on a journey. I wish we could all have a shell this morning, Elaine, that we could all be reminded that we're all on pilgrimage. All roads lead not to Rome, not to Jerusalem, but all roads on pilgrimage lead to the cross. Do not be caught up in walking another road. Has your road led you to Jesus Christ? Jesus says to us today, men and women and youth of faith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let us come on pilgrimage, the road that leads to the cross of our Lord Jesus. Let us pray, and then we'll have our singers come. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of David, like the children of Israel, we too have stood by the side of the road and not recognized you when you passed by. We may have shouted Hosanna and then denied you with our actions. But in our most honest moments, we are keenly aware of our need for you. Come, Lord Jesus, into my heart, into my life. Reveal your passion and your provision for salvation. By your mercy, we are saved. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, save us, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. I'm thankful Jesus knew his role on earth and had the strength to withstand Satan, his temptations of the crown without the cross, for without the cross, we would not be going to heaven. Please stand and join us for Hosanna.
Your name.
Let us pray. Lord, bless us, keep us. Lord, make your face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. May the Lord turn his face towards each of us and give us his peace. Amen.